Scripture says, and I use these scriptures often, some of y'all know that, that put this way, there's hell to pay for sin. Scripture doesn't quite, the scripture said the wages of sin is death, eternal death. So if that's me, and that was me at one time before I accepted Jesus Christ, I'm in trouble. Because I'm a sinner, and there's a wage to pay, and that wage is eternal death. But then the scripture goes on to say that there's a gift. I said there's a gift. I said there's a gift. The gift of God and the gift of grace through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And there's not a time we sing worship songs or praise songs that I don't think about the grace of Jesus Christ. You know, we sing a couple new songs today, but boy, the one we sing about it not being about us and being about Him, I don't know about you, but it gripped my heart. To make our worship always about Him, right? So I'm thankful for the gift of God. And the scripture goes on to say, are y'all okay with this? It's just a little salvation message. It's still the best message. It's still the main message. That to as many as received Him, He gives us the power and the grace to be sons and daughters of God. So I can be His son. I can be His daughter. The Most High God, the Father through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit makes that a reality in our lives. Listen, is Jesus a reality in your life today? You talk to Him. He talks to you in that still, quiet voice. You know Him like we sang this morning. And how about this? Let's dive into worship the first song and start meaning the words we're singing. How about that? And it just takes a little focus, see? I know we mean what we're singing, but sometimes, like for me this morning, I had 16 thoughts going 18 directions. And I needed to get to worship where I could just go, okay, Jesus. Okay, Jesus. Look to your neighbor and say, you're a son of God, or you're a daughter of the Lord. Isn't it good to be His? He belongs to me. And I belong to Him. And His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in my weakness. And on my best day, I'm a weak man without the grace of Jesus Christ. Oh, therefore, though, when I'm weak, when I've got the grace of Jesus Christ working in me, I am strong. And nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with Jesus Christ in your life. Hallelujah! I'm going to get a little excited before I preach this morning. And I love this scripture. Do this with me. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now take it here. If any man or woman hear my voice and open the door and invite me in, I will come in and be with them and them with me. If you don't know Christ this morning, that's what you have to do. Forgiveness of sins is a wonderful thing. I said forgiveness of sins is a wonderful thing. The scripture says, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I like both parts. I like the forgiveness part because that takes a weight off of me. It takes the weight of the power of sin off of me. I love the forgiveness part because I need forgiveness. What about you? But then cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't just forgive me. He takes it away. He cleanses me of it where it doesn't have me any longer. That's the good news of the gospel. You want to have an altar call?
Yeah.
And because of Jesus Christ, hang on to your seats now. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. So because of the grace of Jesus Christ, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
You guys might want to stand up for this one.
Shame is a prison.
Shame is a robber and he's come.
you walk out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walk out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walk out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walk out of the grave I'm walking to.
I was in my home office about 3 weeks ago getting ready for this service. Let's give our worship team a hand this morning. And I don't even know how I got it, but I got a YouTube video and somebody was singing that song. And I had church right there in my little office at home. I must have listened to it 5 times in a row. I was shouting and spitting and singing hallelujah. I know the neighbors heard me if they were home. When you think about what Christ has done for us in my land. So I sit down. I'm right in the middle of study day having church. And I said, Tim. He texts me back, what? I said, I know it's short notice, but I got a song I want to play on Mission Sunday. Well, what is it? Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Send it to him. Boom, 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 boom. Pastor, we've been looking at doing that one anyway for a while. Then I went, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Tim and Jesus. And then I played Ain't No Grave again and went around having church in my office all over again. The grace of God is so good. The Spirit of the Lord makes the grace of Jesus Christ so real, tangible, touchable, but most importantly, life-changeable. I don't even know if that's a word. It is now. God is so good. You know, there was a group of Royal Ranger commanders, one Ranger commander in particular. He was teaching his boys. I'm so glad we've got girls ministry and Ranger ministry and kids ministries on Sunday where we're teaching our children the Word of God. We don't want our children to be biblically illiterate. And so this particular ranger commander was teaching them really what I just taught you a few minutes ago, just what salvation was about, how it worked, and giving him the scriptures and those boys the biblical scripture, and had kind of was comparing grace and works and teaching them the difference in all of that. And then he said, now I'm going to question you. And he's got about 25 boys in the class. He goes, if I sold my car and my house and my fishing poles and my boat and gave it all to Jesus, would that save you? The boys go, say it with me, no. He goes, well, if I were to come to church every day, even after work, and get there in the afternoon and mow the yard and do the carpet and clean the restrooms and just keep God's house tidy, would that get me to heaven? And the ranger boys said loudly,
no.
That's exactly what they said. He said, well then, if I treat my wife right, which I should, and take care of my children and tithe on a regular basis, will that get me to heaven? And they said,
no.
And then he goes, well, then what does it take to get to heaven? How can I go to get to heaven? One little boy goes like this, and he stands up. He said, Commander, you've got to die. Look to your neighbor and say, are you ready to go? You look back and say, not today, just someday. Yeah, you do got to die. Out of the mouths of babes, huh? God is so good. You know, many of you, and you know not too long ago, I guess it was back in November, I went had the privilege of going to Africa. There's about 11 or 12 of us that went to Tanzania for 2 weeks. And y'all have asked me to share some video from that trip. Now, I finally got some video about 2 weeks ago. And I'm not going to show y'all 35 minutes because we don't have time to do that today. But since it's Missions Convention Sunday, I thought I'd show you 7 or 8 minutes of my trip to Africa, and you can go ahead and pull that up, Stephen, if you want to, and give you a little idea about Africa. We were tired puppies by then, let me tell you. Yeah, us and our luggage were kind of traumatized. We drove to our destinations every morning. I drove to the bush. Survived that drive, we had done something. Here's where my location was, way out in the country.
You are the fire, we are the temple, you are the voice, we are your soul. You are our God. We
Several of these school kids would walk for a couple hours just to get to the school. I said, Pastor Dale, you look like you do this at home, son. I said, I do. They said, you're not the typical white boy.
We're going to go worldwide with it.
We're going worldwide. Forget this nationwide stuff. Tired just watching. My preaching partner.
Prominent leaders. So, yeah.
In five days, I preached 21 times. He preached 19 times, morning, noon, and night. One of the few guys that spoke English.
We love you. And this is we welcome you again to Tanzania, and especially some of you're welcome. Thank you.
Teenagers. tried to get that move down. I never could get it down. They have sound issues just like we do sometimes. Look at them. Holy Spirit is moving everywhere, y'all. You can bring it down, Stephen. God is moving through His people. In our Sunday morning services, the altars were packed full of people giving their hearts to Christ. I learned a lot on that trip and some things I already knew. But, you know, our cultures are different. We do things differently. We have different resources. Some have more resources than others. That would have been considered a very nice campus to be out in the country, extremely nice. But we all struggle with the same things. We struggle with sin. We struggle with family issues. We struggle being overworked. We struggle being tired. Regardless of where we come from, we have our struggles. But our God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And His name is Jesus. And His word is true. Regardless of where you live or where you are, His word is true. His word, it still works. You can be in Tanzania. And here is my Tanzanian. I did learn some Tanzanian. Are you ready? Yeah. Welcome. The guys that can't speak English when you get out of the truck or the van or whatever, they just, welcome, 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 welcome. So that's my Tanzanian, welcome. I think it was 149 different tribal languages. There's 149 tribes. And it's not dialects. It's just a different language in that country. But everybody speaks Swahili. That's the common language among all the tribes. So if you hear somebody praying in tongues when they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you go, well, I never heard that language. Well, you probably haven't. But anyway, God is good. We invested $3,500 of our missions money to go on that trip. We took, we must have taken $30,000, $40,000 over there to invest. That didn't include... That was zero travel expense for me. I had, I had a budget for that. So we were able to invest $3,500 into the mission of Tanzania. Give yourself a hand. Last year, we were able to give as a church. And you know, every first Sunday, we remind you where we give above our tithe and we give to missions. And here in a little while, we're going to make our annual faith promise, what we'll do for the next 12 months. But last year, with all our missionaries, 34 missionaries that we support, we gave $32,588 to missions. You did. We did. We did that together. I don't know. I sure would like to give $50,000 to missions this next year, because I got a number of missionaries that are wanting us to... help them. Something we're going to do in our state is we're going to take some short-term mission trips. We're going back to the Apache Reservation up in the White Mountains. We've scheduled three weekend trips to Carrizo, the little native village of about 100 people. Our Assembly of God Church is the only church in town, and it's on like one leg. You know, it's limping, and we want to be a part of revitalizing that work to reach the Apache people. Because Jesus loves the Apache people of Carrizo. And we believe that church has the potential just to take the whole community. Because it's the only act in town until recently, and I shared some with this, maybe most of you, is a few weeks ago I got a text from Pastor Sharon, who pastors that church, the Mormons almost 50 miles away are now sending their vans to Carrizo. And I tell you what, I'm not willing to let the Mormons have it. And so I want you to pray for Carrizo. Pastor Lawrence will be leading the trip. The men are coming alongside him. The sign-ups start today on the table. There will be a little bit of building stuff to do, a little bit of outreach stuff to do. We're going to do the Sunday service, preach, worship. We're going to do Sunday school for kids and teenagers. And so if you need information, see Pastor Lawrence. And if you're interested in going, March the 15th through 17th. So you got a few weeks. And there's we've lined the housing up. There's free housing. So you just got to get up there and eat. You got to eat down here anyway, right? And so really excited about that in-state mission. And those of you that have been with me a long time, we've been going up there for 25 years to help and do something. And so I'm excited about that. The scripture says in Isaiah 9 and 2, and go ahead and get that video ready, Stephen. The people who walked in darkness. Now, before I found Christ, I was walking in darkness, wasn't I? And you were too. And then the light of Jesus Christ shined in my life in the back of that little church in Melbourne, Florida. I walked in with a dark heart, and I walked in out with a free heart. And Isaiah 9 and 2, speaking about Christ, said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelled in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. I want to show you about another place that Jesus is alive and well.
Iran. No place in the world is more oppressive to the gospel. No group of believers anywhere risks a higher cost for their faith. Yet when given the opportunity to learn about Jesus, few people are more curious about the scriptures and hungry for the truth. Seeing that hunger, God inspired our missionaries to approach evangelism in new and creative ways. As Iranian tourists, migrants, and students cross the border into neighboring countries, our workers are distributing the Word of God to them in their own language. Most are reading the Bible for the first time in their lives.
We're looking for a chance to find those who are hungry for the gospel, and we engage them, usually out right on the streets, starting conversations with them. And when language fails us, either their English or our Farsi, then leaving them with a gift of putting the written gospel into their hand, and then a method for them to follow up and get back in contact with us should they be hungry.
We introduce ourselves, we get connected, we share the gospel with them, and we ask them, can we share more about Jesus Christ with you? Basically, we throw seeds out there, and whoever picks them up and it goes deeper, we connect with and go deeper with.
The Iranian government knows that this literature is flooding back into the country. Attempting to stop it, they post dire warnings at border crossings.
The team, when they heard about it, was completely overjoyed because they realized that if the government was that afraid that they put a poster up at the border, that it meant that much of the material was successfully making it back across the border. If the government warns them against something so strongly like this, it will actually pique their interest about the literature that's being given out.
I had the book Luke Acts in my purse, and right when I opened up my purse, all of their hands reached in to grab one, and these young men started to open it and read it. And one of the young guys looks at me in English and he says, "We are interested. This is a surprise to us that you would even put this literature in our language." And then one of my friends says, "Why is your government afraid of a little book?" And this guy looks at us and says, "It's not a little book. There's power inside of this book."
In 2016, Light for the Lost provided more than 18,000 copies of the gospel, printed in Farsi, for the Live Dead team to distribute. Through that literature and personal witness, many have come to Christ, and the church is being planted across Iran.
So what is this literature? It's really just the very words of Jesus, penetrating the heart, opening them to hear the actual voice of the Holy Spirit, and that literature into the hands of that very real human being is the power of God to bring hope.
Jesus died on the cross so that every tribe, every tongue, every nation can hear the good news of who he is. Jesus is in Iran. He loves the people of Iran. They're some of the most open people that I've ever met to the gospel, and they are desperate for the goodness of Jesus Christ.
Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Someday we're going to get to heaven, Rock Church, and because of what we gave, we're going to see Iranian people in heaven because of what we invested here at the Rock Church. Can you give God the glory for that this morning? Sometimes people say, are you concerned about the culture in America, Pastor? And I sure am. It seems like things are getting worse. It hadn't got as dark as it is in Iran yet, though, has it? Some of us maybe even believe it's going that direction someday. But whether it's America or the dark places of Iran, there's still power in the Word of God. There's still power in the name of Jesus. And God's not dead, he's alive. The Holy Spirit is alive here, and the Holy Spirit is alive in Iran. The voice of God is still speaking in the darkest places of the world. You may say, my heart's dark this morning. Jesus is here. Jesus is love you. You haven't fallen too far. Your heart's not too dark. You haven't gone down the tubes too deep. His grace is still sufficient. Somebody give me an amen on that. Because when you take the words of Jesus Christ, the words of Jesus Christ are life-changing forever. Well, hallelujah. I told you I was going to preach a little this morning. 2 Corinthians 4:6 said, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus still saves. Hey, Pastor, the 40 and under group, 9 out of 10 never been in a church. The Holy Spirit still the Holy Spirit. Jesus still Jesus. And God's still God. And if we'll share the good news of God's gospel and word, people are still get saved. Don't you believe it? I believe it with all my heart. Then I'd like to show you another video. This is one I've been taking around the state when I travel. And this is actually, believe it or not, Darla, this, and they weren't there, the people we're getting ready to see. We used to camp in this area of Florida and canoe in this. I took a group of Royal Rangers on a 5-day canoe expedition right on the Ocklawaha River. You'll see the sign right through the heart of this wilderness. We used to take our boat up to the springs. This is an area where we camped back when we were just kids.
The forest is about 430,000 acres in North Florida, North Central Florida. Economically depressed, abject poverty. To make $12,000 a year seems like a lot of money even, almost to be called rich. The area is full of meth and pills and different types of drugs, prostitution, uneducated people who are just really looking for a way out and filling it with different things. Our rainbow population, which is our American gypsy, so to speak, you know, life for them is off the grid. They've mixed their religious beliefs with earth ideas and worship of the earth, and we minister to them and try and show them that there is only one way, and that's Jesus Christ.
Rainbow is multi-denominational group that here accepts you for who you are. We're here for a peace and mind, body, uplifting spirit. So.
You mean that you're going to blindly follow someone who says have no other gods, which he admits right then and there, there's other gods.
When the planet is dying and the trees are weeping, there will come a tribe of all peoples, and they will gather together and be champions of the earth, and they will be known as Rainbow Warriors of the Light.
But my shoulders are broad enough to carry my pack across the Golden Gates without his help, and I will do it.
We're here for the love. We're here for what Babylon, the cities, did not offer us.
You know, what Life for the Lost has done for us, it's allowed us to present the gospel in many different ways. Instead of just our typical church Bible, we're able to get Bibles that are written in a way that they can understand, that some people even feel that was written just for them, in a language, in a print, and even in pictures, that people of all ages, all economic classes and education, they can read the gospel for the first time. That's why Life for the Lost is so important to us. We have a special community at Salt Life Church. We joke that there's over 200 years of prison past in our church, and the community has seen the changes in these people, how they've gone from criminals and users to believers and givers, and how they've changed the entire environment in their community. People like my friend Rocky, who's in his 60s and literally homeless, living by a park bench, body rot with arthritis and anemia, is just been rocked by Jesus Christ. His whole life has changed. For the first time, he has a friend that cares about him. Just 8 months ago, Melissa and Tay were living in a closet in a meth lab. Prostitution, different things in their lives. And when they were told about Jesus, they said, Jesus would never love us. You have no idea who we are. And God brought them out of it. Now they're clean, they're living for him, and their family is restored.
Hallelujah.
Our two boys that we minister to, Jordan and Jacob, witnessed the murder of their mother. She was shot in the face. And throughout the past few years, we've been able to minister to them and watch them grow as young men in Christ. And their whole life and their future now has hope as their grandmother begins to raise them. The U.S. Missions is important because we're reaching unreached people groups right here in our own backyard, right across the tracks in our own neighborhoods. With Life for the Lost, we can reach these people. We can hand them the materials they need to know who Jesus Christ really is. It's not enough to just say, hey, get into church. Sometimes we need to send a missionary right here to reach those people.
Let's give the Lord a hand for that one. Jesus still saves. Nobody's too far away. Nobody's too far gone. Nobody's been too bad. Nobody's too poor. Nobody's too rich. Jesus still saves. And Jesus still heals. Not only does he heal broken bodies, because we believe he still heals physically. You know why we believe that? The Bible says it. Jesus still heals physically, but he also still heals us on the inside where we've been broken and wounded and maimed. Jesus Christ can still make us whole. Jesus is still putting families back together. Darla and I's family called our marriage years ago, as you know. Jesus not only saved us, but he healed our marriage. Jesus is still doing it today. Jesus still delivers from all types of bondages and addictions. Jesus can set you free. That's why we give to missions. It's to see lives saved and transformed by the glory of the Lord. Something that's tangible and real, not fake. Something that's genuine. You could tell those folks' lives have been changed. I tell you, every dollar we invest would be worth seeing Melissa and Tay and that little boy come to Jesus Christ. To get out of that little room in a crack house or a dope house or whatever it was, to see them glow with the love of Jesus makes everything we do as a church worth it all. Hallelujah! I wonder how many years of prison bondage you had. Oh, I love that line. That guy's pastoring a church that's got over 200 years of prison past. I don't know what your prison past is, but Jesus took a group of people that have 200 years of prison experience and gives them an eternity of years of life in heaven with Jesus. We can exchange our prison for eternal life. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wonder where you would be or I would be without Christ. Grab your card. Everybody get a card. We're going to pray over it. And again, this is the time of year we do this monthly, and we collect our funds every month from you. We do it as a team, and then we send these resources out to these missionaries in the U.S. and around the world. I gave you the list of those about 3 weeks ago of all the missionaries we support. And let me tell you this about the Rock Church doesn't keep a dime of your missions money. We get it to the mission field. So everything that you give this year will make it to Iran. It went, Michelle's with us today, made it to India with Michelle for several years. Wave at us back there, Michelle. One of our own missionaries. Tanzania, Egypt. We're supporting some folks in Egypt. Europe, South America, and even our own backyard. We take our resources and we send those funds out to the missions field. Look at it with me. There's a place there for your name. And before you see that, you can give any way you want to give. Monthly faith promise is typically how we do it. Something the Lord's speaking to you, you can give once a month this next year, and I've already filled mine out. And then there's a place for your name and address and where you live and your email and your signature. So we're going to hold these cards, and I know some of you are already filling them out because you've been praying for several weeks. But I'm going to pray, and we're going to fill these out. And then I'll be able to get, we'll add them up for you this week, and we'll give you a report next week of how much we've raised and prayed about to send to the mission field. Okay? Everybody could give something. Everybody could give something. You say, well, it's too small. Nothing's too small for the Lord to use. Something will equal something in eternity. Yeah, two pennies. And Jesus really had high accolades for her because she gave everything she had. Give something. Even if it's a little, don't be embarrassed. Jesus will take, he took the loaves and fishes and just a little and fed the multitudes. But maybe you can give more than a little. A lot of you already have a missions budget in your stewardship piece. I know Darla and I do. And then there's some that could give a lot. You've reached a place in life that you're living like no one else so that you can give like no one else. Manage your money well. So as we pray this morning, give a little, give something, or give a lot, and let's pull together, send more dollars to the missions fields than we've sent here in many, many years. And someday it'll be worth it all when we see Christ. And I'm sorry, but the Tay-Tays, families of this world, standing around the throne worshiping with us. Lord, we thank you for this annual event. To give a above and beyond our tithes and offerings for this church and what's happening here, this mission, to give in other places and to sow in other places for the glory of Jesus. And truly, Lord, you know my heart. There's no pressure here. There's no manipulation at all. I don't even really want us to get all worked up. Our hearts have been touched by the testimonies, but I want us to be obedient as you tell us, Holy Spirit, what to give to missions this year. And I know, Lord, everybody could give something. Everybody could give a little. Others can give more, and some can give a lot. And you know who we are, and you know what our resources are. And so today, Lord, collectively, as the Rock Church, we believe with all our heart it's a privilege to give, and it's better to give than receive. And all God's people said, amen. So watch this. What you do, you put down what, when you get done, you tear off your little piece to keep for you. And then first Sunday of every month, we remind you. It just keeps, and we receive most of our missions funds the first Sunday of the month, but you can write it any time of the month. So if you will...